You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Had you guys considered, because I had not before yesterday, I did not realize that so many people were talking about this, but in Jacksonville, we have an unusual story by any measure in sports, where a professional mercenary ego guy is the top of the profession on leadership in sports and how we treat those people, had his choice of jobs between the greatest in college, which is Texas, and just you get those football players, you get all the money in the world. It's a great job. And he decided on this one. And when he decided on this one, very quickly after that, all of you guys were saying, he's not going to last. He's going to get two or three games here. He's not going to last. Now, I've never seen this. And so when it made a first appearance, somebody reported that Urban Meyer might leave early. It was just a rumor thing. I don't know whether it wasn't Rappaport, was it?
It was us 2 weeks ago when the USC job became open.
But it wasn't just us. There was a news peg to it. We didn't invent it. It wasn't us. There was a report that Urban Meyer was already reconsidering, and then USC made an appearance. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And all of you were like, no, this would make sense for this guy. And so what I saw yesterday, because you're this suspicious of this guy, was a whole lot of people. And it made me think, this might be genius if he was actually this sophisticated about it, that you invent a scandal so that you could go be with your family and you're not just quitting on a season. Like, I saw a lot of people doing this, enjoying the soap opera conspiracy elements, and it's something that would not have ever dawned on me. Like, I would have simply never considered the idea that your lack of scruples go so deep down that you could orchestrate something like that with your wife. I can't believe it.
I think you're giving him too much credit.
Right.
I mean,
it's not me giving him too much credit.
People are assigning too much credit to Urban. Urban's a bad dude. Like, that's it.
Man, I hate that one. And I understand why you do it, but for 15 years at ESPN, they've banned the idea of good dude, bad dude. Just talk about what a person's actions are. When you've never met a person, whoever that person is, even though a lot of people would arrive at the appraisal that you're arriving at,
right?
They sort of banned from ESPN bad person, because it's just such an overarching, sweeping,
that's fair,
smear. But this was a reinforcement. Like, what happened Saturday night was like, of course, that would be the unpleasant, icky scandal, some form of weird, and it would be that coach. But I was stunned by this. Orlovsky and Marcus Spears calling for his firing. What the hell does what happened this weekend have to do with whether you're a good football coach or not. Like, we're going to have these organizations be morals organizations. We're going to have these football teams be morals organization and fire him over this, but not fire him over any number of other things that do affect football.
I think it's kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, though. Like, he's publicly humiliating the organization and himself.
But this one cheating on your wife, like, that's the other strikes against him, if you want to make them fireable, are embarrassments that might have to do with football.
But I think Jess is saying body of work, and this is the story that puts it over.
I agree, you know? Dan. Like, I thought hiring him in the first place was a bad decision, but now he's like repeatedly shown you why.
But you explain to me where else in CEO-dom, as all of these organizations in the commerce world are run by mercenaries, where infidelity would get any of them fired after four games into a tenure when you've given them tens of millions of dollars. I was just floored. I thought the shame was, I mean, you heard Tony Khan in here, the owner's son, talking about in breathless terms about how Urban Meyer has changed the entire culture in Jacksonville and that he's a believer.
Well, we don't know if he like cheated on his wife. It's not infidelity. It's the public video of him at a bar with doing inappropriate behavior. It's one thing if you cheat on your wife in private and we don't know about it, we don't really talk about it, we don't see it. It's another thing to be at a bar publicly 3 days after your loss, you're 0-4, and you're embarrassing the entire organization.
It is a stain on the organization, and it's a distraction totally caused by your own actions. And the case that Orlovsky and Swagoo were specifically laying out yesterday on NFL Live.
What happened?
Because I was watching it. I can't say Swagoo without thinking of Greeny doing the toss. Swagoo.
Every time
you've said it, it is in any. First of all, you don't have. It could be Marcus Spears, but you. Nah. Like Swagoo. He's Swagoo.
He likes to be called Swagoo. I'm gonna call him Swagoo. Yeah. But this was one of the weird. I'm gonna play this clip from the press conference yesterday, and it was one of the many shitty things Urban Meyer has done in Jacksonville. But in this press conference, he invokes Trevor Lawrence oddly.
Well, I've always been so defensive of them. You know, I remember when Trevor told me he was going to go to Vegas for his bachelor party. I mean, I was just, my gosh, man, be careful and surround yourself, and because I've seen this happen. So the team, I spoke to them.
Come on, man.
Do I have to call him a good dude? I mean,
Trevor is watching NFL Live at home with his now
wife.
Why
am I catching it straight? Why is he putting my bachelor party Vegas business out there when Vegas stays in Vegas?
It's also like Trevor Lawrence, who has never done anything that anyone would consider bad or inappropriate, being told be careful by Urban Meyer. Come on. Also, we need to bring up the fact that Urban Meyer taught a leadership and character class at Ohio State University.
It's so good. It's like cartoon fiction. It's unbelievable. It really, you can't make up in that sport. The coaches, they stay out of these things and saying interesting things, and they, to go into that sport, let's think about this for a second. That sport, with whatever the immoralities are at the core of that sport and the immoralities that have to be breached in order to become billionaires in this country, which almost always require the exploitation of somebody, that in that sport, that guy would stand out as Jerry Jones going, ew. Jerry Jones, you know, that you saw the scandal that Jerry Jones that went away, him in a bathroom with a woman and photos all over. It was worse than this. And Jerry's like, Johnny Walker Blue, I'm an owner, baby. It don't matter. None of this stuff sticks to me.
It doesn't matter. He's not trying to preach culture. He's Jerry Jones. He's Johnny Walker Blue. He hires other people to build culture. And it's a problem if Bill Parcells
Jerry
is
Richardson
like that.
Was out here. They took his team for rubbing feet, man.
Well, that happened so quickly, I'm led to believe that there was more than just a feet rubbing. Sometimes people act so swiftly that you know
that was
there's
stunning.
Just
how does that go away quickly? An NFL owner got his team taken away like Sterling, and we all just were like, tapas.
Well, he gave up the team, though. Sterling did not want to give up the team. I mean,
I understand, but
Richardson let it go.
Yeah, well, he let it go, but it was stripped from him.
There was probably a dossier somewhere.
There was leering, then they got his statue out of there with the giant panthers. It was amazing. How do you do any of that quietly? How do you get an owner gone and take his statue with the giant panthers out of there. And it's like, we're all like, just a couple details there, probably uncomfortable. Right.
And where is the statue now? Did they give it to him? Is it in his backyard?
It's in storage.
Yeah. Okay.
A couple billions, a nice little parachute on your way out. You didn't even have to really deal with the national shame. I just rubbed a foot. It was actually a pretty decent deal that Jerry Richardson walked away with, ultimately. But Orlovsky, a man of high moral character, and Trevor Lawrence, also a man of high moral character, their whole argument is, you're telling me what to do as a professional? I'm supposed to take your lead? How are you supposed to help me get better when you can't even control yourself? You're here to teach a culture? Get out of here. I'm not listening to you. I've lost all respect for you.
What about Patriot Way Bob Kraft? This doesn't stick to the owners. What about Patriot Way Bob Kraft doing lecherous things that he lawyers out of?
I mean, if Bob Kraft is in the locker room week in and week out and demanding toughness from his players at training camp, maybe, but he has other people for that.
The thing I'm marveling at is the cartoon comedic symbolism in being too slimy for that. Like, glorious Sunday wrapped in the flag. Beautiful. We celebrated that sport. Like, are you, how are even the others in Bob Kraft's looking at you like after cheating scandals and Boca Raton arrest, he's looking at you like, ew, you're dumb.
Too slimy for the NFL, but fits in well in college.
Reason that we're talking about this, not just because it's the main talking point in the NFL, is the Mike Lombardi report that came out this morning that says, according to two sources in Jacksonville, there are many closed-door meetings happening over the last 2 days in the football offices, and none of them have anything to do with the Titans. Stay tuned. This might get ugly.
Where do you guys have all of this going? And I didn't engage any of you on the whispered, reckless speculation of this is how Urban gets out without just quitting. You guys, again, I want to take you through this process. I was stunned that you guys were like, yeah, if he leaves the pros after two or three games, after turning down Texas, this is the guy who would do that.
I don't think he would go through all of this. This is a bad look for Urban Meyer. This doesn't help his legacy at all. I think Urban would just quit and say, I made a mistake.
I'm so surprised Dan was a guy that came up with that spin zone in that studio, not Stu Gatz.
But it's not. No, it's not me. It's how many people.
I thought of it.
How many people I saw talking about it online and it hadn't dawned on me that someone that you would think this person so sinister that they would be capable of that kind of, like, you're giving Urban Meyer genius even as he's a dope in front of you. You're making, like, we do this all the time with the coaches. This is the strategy that they use because they're going to outsmart you. Urban Meyer's there because he's going to get into the league and he's going to outsmart you and he's going to make his players, they're going to out-tough you.
Loss in all of this is there's a lot of bad judgment displayed, but you can't necessarily be inconspicuous at Urban Meyer's Pint House.
That's so good. Such a good detail.
You can't exactly keep a low profile.
It's such a good detail that it's his place and the reports are six margaritas in.
Well, the stupidity of
it. Tough loss.
The stupidity of it is just so astounding. And we've seen this before over the years where a celebrity goes into a bar, let alone his own bar, where drinking is likely involved, and doesn't think that anything he does of a questionable nature isn't going to be videotaped and recorded and photoed and show up all over social media. It's ridiculous.
Urban's lived in this insulated world forever. College football, Ohio State, where he almost got away with just about everything and anything. And now he's in the NFL. It was a terrible mistake, but this is a man who was accustomed to getting his way and getting away with whatever he wants for his entire life, his entire career.
I actually want to visit this place. I feel like it's a part of football lore now.
Mike.
Come on. I want to get, look at the bar bites. Look at the menu. Looks kind of good.
It's a shrine.
They do have a brunch menu.
Why? Can we call over there and like talk to a manager or something and just get some details about this place? Take like a virtual tour of Urban Meyer's Pint House.
Dan, I honestly look through the menu and icky because they serve a Shelly Teeny.
I want to go through the rest of this menu. I want to call a manager as soon as they open. Does it open?
Shelly's Rosé.
You think a manager's going to walk us through the restaurant?
Shelly's Punch Bowl. You'd have to think, given the video that we saw, that someone was sipping on. Now, this may be a journalistic leap by me, but something with Shelley's name had to have been ordered and consumed that day.
It is amazing to me because Greg Cody, and of course, we can all look at this and say, how dumb are you, dumb person who gets caught in this scandal and doesn't know that cameras are always on you? But I want you to go back 20, 30 years in time to whenever you were a young person and the idea, or maybe the beginning of Urban Meyer's career, and say to him, hey, Urban, you're not going to believe this. And this is going to be pre-internet or close to pre-internet. In many years, you're going to have a terrible scandal after having this conflict between the University of Texas, a wonderful job in Jacksonville, three games into your career, and people are going to be so microscopically studying the film of you in a bar that they're going to wonder whether you put a finger in the food. Like, that's how that was being studied, and that would be the scandal. That was his finger in there, or was it not in there, is something that is being studied. It's a scandal unlike any in the history of NFL coaching.
Okay, hold on. Sorry to interrupt, but there's a drink on this menu called a Manmosa. We are like 10 days away from Sack Up with Dan Dockage and Urban Meyer.
Hell yeah.
Clay Travis's truck is going to be in the shit-stained mobile is going to be outside.
What is a Manmosa? Like, why do we have to call a drink a Manmosa? It's beer with orange juice.
He's going to go right
vodka.
Back to Fox and the college football. You guys, this isn't going to flame out like this.
Damn,
right
we said it was
going
to flame out.
USC.
We
right
said
back
it was
to a TV
flame
job.
No. We said it was going to flame out like this before this latest scandal. This has felt wrong since it got going over there. He's had way too many distractions for a head coach that he made. He hired that strength and conditioning coach. He made those players run the Oklahoma drill. He put out that statement after 0-2 that made it seem like it was the end of the world and they were going to turn it around. He's out there saying the division's still within reach. He's the one bumping and grinding at Urban Meyer's pint house.
It makes me happy. How do I get more reporting about Urban Meyer's pint house? It's not just the menu I want. I want the decor. Was he in the center of a shrine to himself for losses after turning down a Texas job he could have had for 10 years and replaced Nick Saban in the SEC?
Short rib tacos.
Yeah, no, it's a...
Those sound good.
It feels traditional, but with a modern flair, Urban Meyer's pint house. I'm not sure what the 7-0 stands for, but there's a 7-0 button over there. A lot of high ceilings over there, Dan, and you could order the coach's favorite, which is linguine and clams.
I want you guys, honestly, because this would be an amazing flame out in so many different...
And if you can't trust the linguine and clams in Urban Meyer's pine house,
then you just can't trust
Urban Meyer.
Put it on the poll. If you can't trust the linguine and clams at Urban Meyer's Urban Meyer's pine house, then can you ever trust the linguine and clams? But this is funny. You can't... It's sort of amazing here that the Texas job was available to him and he could have spent his time really enjoying his life and his job, if not for the temptation of, I got to see what it looks like in the pros. And
I think it was Trevor Lawrence, right? That quarterback having the chance to coach.
Well, but
that
and combined, soaked with his own ego, too. I know that this quarterback will change everything with me and we will win the way that we used to win, when Trevor Lawrence has now lost more in the pros than he lost in all of high school and all of college. He's already lost more games than that, and they're drowning there.
It's funny, the perspective, though. If the Jaguars were 3-1 right now and Trevor Lawrence was looking like Justin Herbert, then what Urban did the other day in his bar would not
really
be seen like this.
If they were 4-0, it's not. You're saying if they were 4-0, winning covers up that much stench? It has. It's as his body of work would indicate. Yes. Winning has covered up a whole lot of stench.
No, okay, think about for a second. When is the last time you saw an NFL head coach do something like this or do something similar that is publicly embarrassing?
Jay Gruden.
Rex Ryan had a foot fetish.
Mm-hmm. But that was a thing with his wife. And
Jay Gruden had a similar thing.
I honestly can't think of one. If you can think of one, get back to me.
Let me clarify. No one has had a similar thing to this. Grinding at Urban Meyer's pint house whilst being Urban Meyer. That is unique to Urban.
I'm not defending Urban. What I'm saying is, if the Jags are doing really well right now and Trevor Lawrence looks great, people aren't talking about it as a firing offense. They're saying, oh, it's an embarrassment.
I'm stunned that anyone's talking about any of this as a firing offense. This act by itself, you guys are even saying, it's not the act, it's that we saw it. It's not even the act. Just hide your character. Well, accept it if it's a terrible character. Just make sure to hide it. And it's like, this has been in plain view for a while on this guy. There's very few people. I'm rooting against him. I don't root against anybody. This is a source of comedy throughout the league, seeing the ego fall like this.
But to Greg's point, when he's having success, we don't make that big of a deal of it. And the fact that he's not in the NFL and everyone's now making this a big deal, I think it would still be a big deal, Greg, what he did.
I do too, but it would be put in a whole different context. It would be an embarrassment. We would accept the apology and move on. We wouldn't dwell and say, you got to fire this guy.
It wasn't really an apology, though. He tried to make excuses and explain something that we had already seen, which was not what his explanation was.
I will marvel at this again, okay, just because I really do want to impress upon you, Jimmy Johnson helped Urban Meyer with this decision. Jimmy Johnson, in many ways, speaks very highly about regretting ever going to the pros, even though he had to test himself because he had something cushy. Bobby Bowden had a great gig. Bobby Bowden, to be that across the sport, to be Nick Saban must be great fun. Nick Saban failed in the NFL. The idea that you're going to be smarter than everyone up here when there's salary cap and the people, you don't have to beat Ed Orgeron up here. Like in college, you can be smarter than some of these guys.
Urban would still have, he would have that great gig though at Ohio State still. He wouldn't be in Jacksonville had he not gotten in trouble there.
I know, but what I'm telling you, just so that you understand how hard this is, because Nick Saban failed in the pros because he didn't get Drew Brees. This is how thin the margins are. And the players didn't like, hey, tie your shoes. Like they were millionaires and like, get out of here, man. And so he went to coach players that he could do that to. And they fall in line, they're a robot factory university. But Urban Meyer had this, and this is the part that's amazing. Look at what the Texans look like with their third-string quarterback. Urban Meyer won a championship with his.
Mm-hmm.
His third-string quarterback won a championship in college because you could be smarter than everyone down there. That's the minor leagues. That's SEC football. That's Nick Saban can be better than Sean Payton there.
Well, you're a better salesman there because his third-string quarterback was better than most universities' first-string quarterback.
If you get all the players, this is what I was marveling about, the ego in Urban Meyer's decision to turn down Texas. He could have run the sport for 15 more years if he wanted to, and the ego has doomed him in 4 games, you guys are telling me? The ego of that decision, that crossroads, would make him that, choosing that vanity, that superficiality instead of comfort, choosing to feed the ego, ends like this 4 games in?
It appears like, I don't think he's going to make the season, Dan. And if he still wants to run college football for the next 15 years, along with Nick Saban, he still can.
What is this report though, Mike? When this sounds like how people gather, when you are thinking, when the pressure is rising to a place where you are thinking about firing somebody, when your house is in crisis and you are now trying to figure out how do we handle this, because we didn't make this go away with our coach going out there and saying, my family's upset with me.
Well, just to supplement what you were saying, it didn't start with the USC stuff. People put two and two together because there was a report earlier in that week saying that people inside that headquarters are already over the Urban Meyer experience before they had even played a second
game. What was Tony Khan telling us then?
Khan told us, okay, we do this with Tony Khan. Tony Khan is an advanced analyst for the Jacksonville Jaguars, whose main responsibility for that organization is identifying undrafted free agents. He also happens to be the owner's son, so he has a buy-in. Jacksonville has now quite the history of hiring disciplinarian coaches. Urban Meyer fits that mold, okay? This is Tom Coughlin. This is Doug Marrone. This is how Jacksonville and Shad Khan has made his hiring practices. The fact that Tony Khan said, you have to win with the talent that you have, and that's what Urban Meyer taught me, it feels like a pot shot against Tony, a dear friend.
I love Tony Khan too, but we didn't call him nearly enough on all of that. Jessica called us out after that show. I wanted to call Tony Khan back and put him on air because we were cowards about not questioning Tony Khan, who was singing hallelujah hosannas to how much Urban Meyer had changed the culture before they'd played a game.
Yeah, I'm a buck up against that notion. He just said, like, you have to win with the talent that you have around, and he changed my whole philosophy on that. Okay, cool, but also he's super embarrassing. And he's winless, and he's burning everybody in that organization out. And at one point, do you start asking yourself, are we beyond the point of no return here? Is the juice worth a squeeze?
A month in.
This is the Urban Meyer experience. He flames out spectacularly. The only thing different about
no, but this is the Urban Meyer experience when he's losing.
Yeah, well, yes. We've never seen him lose. He flames out at places that he's super successful at. Now you add losing on top of that, someone that historically hasn't even been able to handle just the slightest bit of adversity at Florida or at Ohio State. I'm not at all surprised by any of this.
I wonder very skeptically. I don't think those meetings in Jacksonville, those hand-wringing meetings, are happening right now. If they're 3-1 and Trevor's doing great, they're not happening.
But that's fine. You can take that position. But the part that I want to marvel at with you guys, because I just stopped you on bad guy. I stopped you on bad guy because that's not the language you use. Right. But what you just described, Mike, is you used a whole bunch of words for coward. Like, you used a whole bunch of words for guy who makes a lot of money telling others how to be tough and bails every time something makes an appearance of his own making. This is tough guy telling others how to be accountable and tough.
No, I want to be careful with coward because, for whatever reason, that adversity manifests itself in very clear and obvious anxiety and migraines. For Urban Meyer, he may internalize things to the point that it manifests itself that way, but I'm not going to call him a coward because I imagine there's a great deal of turmoil inside of Urban Meyer right now, and I wouldn't wish that upon myself.
Let me ask you guys this because I've had some remorse since this started because 4 games ago, the first loss, I publicly said I never root against others. I don't throw that into the atmosphere, but I'm going to enjoy Urban Meyer feeling this on Sundays for the end of time. I would like it to last the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some of this fall on a guy's neck who doesn't handle adversity well and who is in pain even when he's having wild success, right? Falling to his knees on the sidelines. The whole thing is really stressful for him, absent what's happening right now, which is unlike anything that he's dealt with in terms of how close to home it gets, right? Because this is a whole nother set of problems. Urban Meyer, Wright Thompson was wandering around with Urban Meyer Cleveland when he was having this soul-searching thing. Wright Thompson, one of the great poets in reporting and writing. And it was about the tug of Urban Meyer to get back to his family because football corrupts, success and ego corrupt, the chasing of these big things take you away from your family. And isn't it nice to have a catch with your kid on the field on the Cleveland ballpark? And Urban Meyer has time for that now. Fatherhood first, you know, family and faith after that. All the things that football sells. For this to be the scandal? He hasn't had this one, which is now not just, hey, this is a mercenary at work. And we also understand that for winning, we won't judge you too much. We get it. You're a salesman, mercenary, shark. There are going to be compromised principles in the way to winning in commerce. But now it's at home. It's this scandal because we all know what that is. Oh, look, you don't only have 0-4. You got a bigger, you might have, we don't know what your relationship is, but we're going to snoop around in it because you're famous. And so now we're snooping around and now you got the internet on your neck. And now you got jokes on your neck. And now you've got kids, the kid you were playing a catch with at the park, he's being laughed at. Your father. This family's now under duress, and I have felt that somewhere in this, I really hope that this doesn't actually harm his health.
I think they beat the Titans on Sunday.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
He said while you were off there, while the connection was bad, he had mentioned that you have lost a lot of weight and that he admires that. What got into you? Why did you decide? I thought it was all, I thought we enjoyed being about the munchies.
Yeah.
Oh, it's slurring again. Okay, the connection is bad again, unfortunately. Yeah.
Back to Magnus.
Okay, back to Magnus for Magnus. And this is going about as well as it could go. Thank you, Billy, again for laughing in my face.
Stugatz.
Magnus. I mean, I am the worst. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Action.
Hello?
Action.
Man, I'm really sorry. This is literally the worst way to ever do this. This is burning my heart that this is happening. But if you could hear me, just understand, I'm sorry.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
He's very busy here because there are some hearings today, but the story of the day yesterday was the internet going down and the world's addiction to social media. We all started itching, and there's all sorts of nefarious stuff going on in the shadows with social media, and Zuckerberg lost a reported $7 billion yesterday because if Facebook goes down, it's like $222,000 a minute. So Terry Collins, USA Today, money and tech reporter, joining us to discuss everything that's going on there. And this is about the whistleblower, I'm assuming. They're the hearings in progress, and you've been in the business for more than 20 years, Associated Press, CNET, Fortune, Huffington Post. I want to start with everything that happened yesterday and how it might be tied to a whistleblower hearing, because people might think that a whistleblower is going to reveal that there's all sorts of Facebook and Instagram things that manipulate young girls. And what's been happening is we've been being controlled by this thing that has, you know, it's got us all addicted.
Yeah, well, great admission, Dan, that we are all sort of kind of like addicted to Facebook and any other platforms, because it's just been interwoven into our lives, you know, for the better part of more than a decade. So right around this time yesterday, I guess most of us started noticing, as we would want to go to Facebook and Instagram and notice that there was a problem, that it went down. And myself, I and others, we went to like this known site called downdetector.com to see, and sure enough, it was down. And it was still down, and it was down for hours, you know. And, you know, Facebook had said that the root cause of the outage was a faulty configuration change, which basically means that servers were down for a long time. You know, we couldn't get a connection, and they couldn't get a connection. And so it was, I guess, for those who depend on it, rely upon on the platform for to communicate, to do business. It was a rough and tough day.
WhatsApp
stock went down.
WhatsApp also went down. So can you help us understand? Because I don't know if there's anything conspiratorial here. I'm not meaning to espouse conspiracy theories, but there are hearings in progress because a whistleblower was on 60 Minutes, and the stocks are tumbling. Mm-hmm. And so I'd just like to better understand what's happening with these hearings and what's happening right now with social media, because it seems like you're at the center of a fight on a changing landscape, that you're in the middle of covering something that's a bit historic here, because the foundation of these things is shaking.
Yeah. And, you know, the irony of this, you know, the outage happened, you know, kind of like a day after this former Facebook product manager, Francis Haugen, who is testifying right now before a Senate committee, said that, you know, that Facebook is putting profit above user safety. And that's kind of like a core that I think many of us have been writing about. We've heard politicians, we've heard groups saying that, you know, Facebook does a lot of harm to users, particularly many of its young users, with some of its content that could be harmful. You know, he said that it has a devastating potentially have devastating impact for some users, and for the good and the bad, it's a huge loss. I mean, Facebook has nearly three billion users. So, you know, it has an effect on all of us in a lot of ways, and more so, I guess, than what we cared to realize until yesterday. The ability to not be on Facebook to communicate, and Instagram to see your photos, to like things. So, and businesses losing probably billions of dollars, you know, who do business because some have had to pivot on these platforms due mostly in part to the pandemic because they're not getting the foot traffic and such. So in some ways, it's devastating. And now compounded with this, we have, Haugen, testifying before the Senate saying that, you know, Facebook has made some disastrous choices and now all this stuff is coming out and fruit to bear. You know, what we thought we heard, now we're kind of seeing that there is some stuff.
Can you tell us what you found most interesting about the 60 Minutes interviewer with the whistleblower?
I think just her pure candor and being just very unapologetic that there's problems at Facebook and realizing. I mean, you know, personally, she's been at other tech companies, but, you know, for the most part, you know, blowing a whistle and coming out and stuff like this, you know, it could be damaging to her reputation. I mean, she probably may or may not ever get another job in the tech sector, which is highly competitive. And I'm sure whenever she realized and saw that there was these problems and these issues, made her, I guess, have the conviction to just say, I'm going to say something and I can prove it. I have documents and I'm going to share them with others. And I don't care at what cost it comes. You know, it's kind of courageous and yet scary all at the same time, probably on her end.
What are the most damning accusations we might see?
I think her bluntness in saying that to a degree, Facebook may not care about its users as much as they say they do. I think she might go so far as to say that, you know, from what we've seen in the testimony, which like now you're seeing it, you know, her saying that Facebook hides most of its own data, that's pretty damning, you know, because I have colleagues myself and others, you know, we ask Facebook for data and information and we'd hope that they would be transparent enough to give it to us, you know, of what they can, you know, or what they want to. But for someone who was on the inside to say that this is what they're doing and other, you know, I guess, deceptive things in order to make profits, according to her, is that's pretty damning. And can you imagine what Facebook is trying to put together in its defense? You know, this is stuff that, like I said, that myself, others, politicians especially, who are looking to regulate Facebook and other social media platforms, this is probably what they've been wanting to hear. You know, they're probably salivating. And right now you can see in the hearing that they're trying to ask as many questions as they can and trying to get as much out of her in a very clear and concise way as possible. So that's going to be the challenge for the Senate committee here as to how much they can get out of her under oath.
Can you explain to the audience what the dangers are of an entity keeping all the data to itself when you say, because you saying, I can imagine the audience saying when you say the most damning accusation is Facebook doesn't care about its customer as much as it pretends to, which feels, you know, naive, right? By itself. I mean, of course, commerce, the corporation doesn't care about, that's one thing. That's not going to tumble a company $7 billion a day. It's got to be worse than that.
There is. I guess, you know, as Haugen has testified, you know, damaging effects, you know, especially for, say, one example she used was for young women who, you know, teenagers who, you know, look at Facebook and some of the other platforms and look at the images, you know, that could be on there. Say like Instagram, for example, and, you know, there's a certain, quote, maybe look that these young ladies may aspire to and may feel like that they can't. And so that could have harming effects on their psyche.
It's how to manipulate an entire culture of young women, correct? That's one.
And, you know, you could say young people and even adults, you know, in terms of using things, I guess, that would keep you coming back, you know, to the platforms. Stay on the platforms.
Was it a suspicion at first that Facebook might have been hacked, and has that been ruled out?
Yeah, there. Of course, there is. You know, highly suspicious. It's almost one of the first things you think about, especially, you know, as we go into like hour one, hour two, you know, and given Facebook being, you know, in the news for say like in the past couple of weeks, it announced that they were going to pause Instagram for Kids, which had drawn the scorn of politicians, groups like Common Sense for Kids Media, Fair Play, which looks at monitors these kind of things with Facebook and the impact it has on kids. So this was just kind of the article, the articles that came out that Haugen leaked to the Wall Street Journal and other publications picked up and noticing a pattern of Facebook having this being, I guess, in her eyes, deceitful. This is all a buildup, to like bad for Facebook. And then we have this sudden outage and then this outage occurs. And so after, if it's not resolved in an hour, 2 hours, you're starting to think, okay, well, what's the problem? What's the cause? Facebook saying they know what the cause is. Of course, you're going to think like, well, man, maybe someone was, kind of just wanted to take the system down or whatever, possible hacking. And as I said, this morning, Facebook reiterated, sent an email to us saying that, there was no malicious activity. But then again, I had an expert who said, told me off the record yesterday, if Facebook did get hacked or, disrupted, compromised, do you think they'd really say something? So you start thinking about that as well, and because Haugen is saying, what is the truth? And that's what politicians are saying and other advocates and those who have been questioning Facebook for years. What's the truth?
You were very gentle about it. And what's the truth is a simple, complicated question. But because you're objective, I still feel the need to ask you and badger you and agitate you. Is Zuckerberg an evil monster? I know, you've been very fair and you're a journalist and you're objective and thank you guys.
No comment.
Don't just hold on a second. I want to hold, you get to ask the questions all the time of everybody. I want to question you for a minute. I want to see if there's an opinion somewhere in there as you gather facts and you fight this with facts and objectivity for USA Today. Is Zuckerberg an evil? Is Zuckerberg an evil monster? Terry, I need it's a yes or no question.
Thanks for asking, Dan.
I don't need elaboration. It's a yes or no. It's a yes or no question. Terry.
Thanks for asking. Facebook is in a bit of trouble right now. I think there's no denying that. And they probably have been for years, and now it's just all like coming to the surface. I'd say no entity is perfect, but with such influence and power and scale that it has, the scrutiny is going to come, and it's going to come heavy. Whether it's deserved or not, I think it's up to individuals to decide. And for those who use the product, for whatever reason, I think it's up to them to decide if they want to continue using, a Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp. What's the reliance on it? What's the dependency on it? When you think about, the outage yesterday, myself, of course, I'm covering, my colleagues and others about what's happening. But maybe, say, for instance, what did you guys do yesterday during that 6 hours without it? Which I'm sure you have to rely on in some capacity.
Twitter and TikTok.
I'm on neither Facebook nor Instagram, but I imagine that Jessica started itching her neck and then immediately found other places to feed her stimuli addiction.
But it sounded like a yes to me.
Yeah, certainly.
But a weird thread in today's show of me trying to bully very nice human beings who do their job well in their area of expertise. I'm sorry about that. Thank you for the information.
Boy, Dan, you got a little loose, man. Now you've left, the mothership. Jeez.
There you go. That's right. That's right. See that? Be free.
Just like egging them on. And
Terry, be free. Yep. It's so much better. Yeah. You're going to lose the fight against Facebook with your objectivity, Terry. It does not regard your objectivity. It does not care about your objectivity and your journalism. It is.
And what about, let me ask you this. What about, not shit from Facebook. Let, jump back on it. What about your dolphins? What's up?
Oh, wow.
Anyone want this account, Whittingham?
Did I get him?
Did I get him? Terry, thank you. Yes, you crushed me. Oh, I'm so hurt. Tua's ribs don't work right. You got me, Terry.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.